Before we enter into the teaching of our class this morning on the subject of the accuracy of prophecy, I wanted to make one little notation on my study of last week. This is the first time that I recall of having to do it, but I need to. There's something about when I was given to you the four different kinds of calendars. You remember the lunar calendar, the Bible calendar, the solar calendar, and then the Julian calendar are the four that are used universally throughout the world. When I got to the solar calendar, I had said 365 days, and then I changed it in my own thinking. I said, no, that's got to have a quarter tacked onto that. The first time I said it, I was right. My correction was wrong. So those of you who've gotten the tapes, you'll hear that again. And it's the Julian calendar that is a 365 and a quarter. Now, that may be incidental to a lot of you, but I want to get right into our lesson this morning. I've got a long ways to go and little time to do it. And I'm looking forward anxiously to this study this morning. First of all, we're dealing with the 70 weeks of Daniel. They are found in chapter 9 of Daniel, verses 24 through 27, which tells us in prophetic language exactly when Jesus Christ would come into the world. Pinpoints it from the beginning of the decree of Artaxerxes for the rebuilding of the walls of Jerusalem and the rebuilding of the city until Messiah the Prince is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ himself. Unto him would be 49 years, or the Bible says 7 weeks, then 62 weeks. So if you get 60 is 60 and 2 would be 62, and then there's 7 weeks, would be 69 weeks. Now, I told you in our class of last week that this means weeks of years, and I gave you the Bible principle on which it is founded from the book of Genesis, chapter 29, into the book of Numbers, and also in Leviticus 25. And I only want to just summarize it in a very simple passage, because when you get into a lot of those, it may not be simple, but this will really put the clincher on this morning as we introduce our closing out lesson on the 70 weeks of Daniel. Observe how the Holy Spirit says 7 weeks of years, then 62, and he combines the two and 62. He combines the two together, making 69 weeks of years, which would be a total, since it's weeks of years, of 483 years, using a calendar of 360 days, which is the Jewish calendar. Now, to show you that the week does refer to years, we are going to give it to you in a very quickie, but a very simple illustration from the very text itself. Notice it now, the Holy Spirit separated the 69 weeks as he combined them together from the 70th week. He did the separating. And when he did that separating, he did it on purpose, because the 70th week does not pertain to or have any part in the 69 weeks, which all refer to the when of Jesus' coming. The 70th week deals with the when of the Antichrist coming, the false Christ, the artificial Christ, the pretending Christ. This you're going to find when you go to the book of John, chapter 5 and verse 43. Jesus said something here very remarkable in prophetic language. That when he said, now when I have come, you will not accept me, you will not acknowledge me to be divine, the Son of God who was to come to the world, but there is going to come one, and notice the language he said, I am come from my Father. And in my Father's name, and you receive me not. You rejected him. He was to be rejected. The Bible said he is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief in Isaiah 53. He said, you won't receive me if another come in his own name. The another is Jesus well had in mind the Antichrist. Another come in his own name. He said, you'll receive him. And exactly what is going to happen in the future day. Now notice the 70th week. To understand a little more about that, I'll give you several scripture verses, letting the Bible explain the Bible. We're going, first of all, to the book of Daniel in chapter 7. Here we notice in verse 25, a very strange, queer, weird, unusual language. We're not used to this kind of talk. That's why I'm using those descriptive adjectives to call it to your attention. It says, and he, that is the Antichrist, shall speak great words against the Most High. This blasphemer, the world's great dictator, is going to defy God just like the devil did, because he's going to be full of the devil. And anybody full of the devil will try to spit in God's face. That's why sinners do it today. You have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. You can, if any of you have been doubting your salvation, the very fact that you love God and you would not even speak a word against him, and you hear anybody cuss and use his name in vain, it grieves your heart, that's a real proof you're saved. If you were a child of the devil, you would be just joining in with that ungodly crowd and blaspheme that worthy name by which we are called. Children of God, and it says this, that this wicked Antichrist, he's going to wear out the saints of the Most High. Not only spit in God's face and blaspheme his name, but wear out the saints of God. What else? And think to change the times and the laws. He wanted to change Christmas. He wanted to change Thanksgiving. He wanted to change Easter. He don't like them. He's going to get rid of them. And notice it. It shall be given into his hands until a time. There is the strange language. A time. A time. What in the world is that? And then the next it says, and times. And then the next thing is added to it, and the dividing of time. Dividing of time will be a half a time. And then to throw a little more light on that, let's go to the next reference in chapter 12, verse 7. And I heard the man clothed with linen, which came upon the waters of the river. You find that in Revelation chapter 10 also. And he held up his right hand to him that sitteth on to the throne, unto Almighty God. And then he held up his left hand. And when he did, notice what, he swear by him that liveth forever, that it shall be for a time, and times, and a half a time. Notice it now, half and a half. The other was dividing of time. So a half and dividing are really meaning the same. Now, to throw a little more light on that, we're going to Revelation chapter 11. Here we find that the temple has been rebuilt. After 2,000 years, no temple in Jerusalem, temple rebuilt. And when you who were with me in the time I showed you the pictures from the time that we were last in Israel in 79, I showed you the pictures of it in the reconstruction. It was just still in the process of. Showed you the sign also that is beside it and tells us this, that the temple shall not be defiled. Tells who cannot go in there and why. All in Hebrew, then they put it in English, and then they had it in, I don't remember, it's either French or German. Notice, and it says here, and the court which is without the temple, leave out. Measure it not, the angel is telling John, for it is given to the Gentiles, and the holy city shall they tread underfoot, how long? 42 months. 42 months or how long? How many years? 3.5, you're right on. 42 months. And I give power unto my two witnesses, and they shall prophesy 1,250 days. How long is that? Same as 42 months, and the same as 3.5 years. Identically the same, with a 30-day month. Now, we're going to chapter 12 and verse 6. Now, remember the prophecy in Daniel chapter 9 was that he's going to scatter the power of the holy people. Here you find it now being fulfilled. The woman in the 12th chapter, beginning with verse 1, clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet, and had 12 stars, which represent the 12 tribes of the children of Israel. It says, and the woman is fleeing into the wilderness. Why is she fleeing? Because Satan has been cast down by God out of heaven. God clipped his wings that he can no longer ascend up there any longer, and he's been cast down to the earth. And he's come down here with great wrath, for he knows his time is short. He knows he's smarter than the devil than a lot of us as Christians. He knows the time is short, and he's mad as a wet hen. And if you've ever been out in the country, you know what I'm talking about. And you know, he goes out to persecute this woman and the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. This tells us that Jewish people can get saved, a whole bunch of them. And he goes to persecute this woman, and she flees out into the wilderness, where she has a place prepared by God. As long as God prepares a place, you're safe. God doesn't prepare it, then you're going to have to just really hunt the best hiding place you can find. And they shall feed her there, remember how God fed Elijah? You know how he fed the children of Israel for 40 years in the wilderness? He can do it again. Same God, hadn't lost a bit of his power. Look, how long is they be fed there? 1260 days. The same as you picked up there in the 11th chapter, the 1260 days, which is 3.5 years. She's going to have to flee. When does she flee, though? Notice it now. When do these Israelites flee? At the beginning of this particular 1260 days, or the 3.5 year period. The covenant that the Antichrist made with the Jewish people, he made that covenant with them for 7 years. Notice that. He made the covenant for 7 years. Now, he makes a covenant for 7 years. But in the 3.5 years, after 3.5 years, he breaks the covenant and turns traitor on the Jewish people and begins to persecute them and try to kill them off and wipe them out. He hates the Jew. What does that tell you? That anybody that does is buddying up to the devil and doesn't know it. That's heavy. And notice the next reference. We're going now to chapter 12 and verse 14. And to the woman were given 2 wings of a great eagle, that she might fly into the wilderness, into her place, and she's going to be nourished for a time and times and a half a time. You see that? You picked up times in Daniel. Time, times, and the dividing of times. Times, time, and a half. Time is 1 year in the Bible. Those of you who are not familiar with Bible language, you're getting it now. Time is 1 year. Times, plural, is 2 years. And a half is a half a year. So you total them out, what do you have? 3.5 years exactly. You see how this Bible is? God puts it in different ways. He calls it time, times, divided time. He calls it 1260 days. He calls it 40 and 2 months. But all of them mean one and the same thing. He did that, you see, to teach us. One verse or passage of Scripture helps them to interpret another passage of Scripture. And it isn't so smart the teacher you have. It's just he's got a smart teacher himself, the Holy Ghost. Who just opened that up and made it just so plain to me that I couldn't miss it for nothing. But until he opened it up to me, I'll tell you this, I chewed my bits over this. It didn't make sense in this world. I thought, why in the world God put things in that Bible so complicated? Why don't he just make it simple so anybody like us could understand it? I found out that Bible is exactly right when Jesus tells us in his own words, which he revealed to Paul, what things knows a man save the spirit of man that is in him? And so the things that God knoweth no man but the Spirit of God, and he to whomsoever he will reveal them. Got to be revealed. Blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jona. Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father which is in heaven. When the Father reveals it to you, got it straight. When man tries to reveal it to you, no telling what will happen then. He could be right and could be wrong. But now we're going to another. This is an astonishing passage in the book of Revelation chapter 13 and verse 6. We're picking up the Antichrist again. And there was given unto him, the Antichrist, who is called the beast here, a mouth speaking great blasphemy. Just like Daniel said in chapter 7, you're going to blaspheme the Most High God, see? He's repeating that now, showing that when that prophecy in Daniel 7 is now being fulfilled in Revelation chapter 13. Great blasphemies. And power was given unto him to continue 42 months. In other words, the Antichrist, control and power, devil-possessed man full of the devil's power, he's going to work for 3.5 years, which is the last 3.5. All of these 42 months, times in the dividing of time, and 1,260 days are actually 3.5 years. But that shows you that's only one half of the tribulation, or one half of Daniel's 70th week. So the other half is where he made the covenant. So the two halves then make a whole. So your 42 months of half of tribulation, then the other 42 would be the other half. So it totals out, then the 70th week of Daniel has to be 7 years long, because we know a half of the week is 3.5 years. The other half would have to be another 3.5. Common sense would tell you that. All right, getting away from all of that, I don't get all those figures any further, because I got something more important to talk about. Now, the Holy Spirit tells us exactly when the starting time would be to compute when Jesus would leave the glory world and his Father's right hand and come into this world to be our Redeemer, our Savior, and our Deliverer from the bondage of sin, the shackles and the fetters of Satan, and to liberate us and set us free to become a liberated people. If the Son shall therefore make you free, you shall be free indeed. It was prophesied it's going to be after 62 weeks and after 7 weeks of years, or 483 years total. After that length of time, the Messiah is going to come. And then he is going to, it says furthermore, he is going to be cut off. And that not for himself. I'll get to that a little bit later. But before I get to the cutting off, I want to get his coming. The Holy Spirit pinpoints exactly when Jesus would make his revival, his arrival here in this world. And I want you to know he came down here without getting a scratch. Leaving the glory world all the way down here, a body was awaiting for him. He just went right on into that body and blessed the Lord forevermore. Until the age of 30, his years were pretty well silent. All we know about his dedication and about then his being baptized in the Holy Ghost at John the Baptist's ministry. And then he begins his ministry down here for the short period of how long? 3.5 years. Now, isn't that something else? Antichrist, 3.5 years, and the Christ, 3.5 years. The devil always tries to polyparrot and copycat everything the Lord does to do, to try to throw us off and to make us think that he is the genuine and the real one. But one thing about it, you'll find that the real made some prophecies concerning himself that happened just exactly as Jesus said it. The devil didn't come down then. He'd been around here a long while. But Jesus only got down here, you see, after those 483 years. And the prophecy was found over there in the book of Nehemiah chapter 2 verses 1 through 8 as to when he would come. Now I'm going to get to the fulfillment in a little bit closer to the triumphal entry, because when you read in Nehemiah chapter 2 about when the decree was made by Artaxerxes, it is in the month of Nisan. Now that may not mean anything to you, but to a Jewish person, he picked that up right now. That means March, April. The Jewish calendar is a little different from ours. They go from the halfway middle of March to the middle of April is Nisan. The decree is made then in March, April, and this 483 years will complete itself then in a March, April. And that is exactly the time the triumphal entry of Jesus into Jerusalem was, in the March, April, at the time of the Passover, at which time he gave his life a ransom for us. Exactly. Not only in the year it's pinpointed, but here we got it pinpointed down to the very month of his coming. Amazing. No man could do this. And this was the prophecy made in Zechariah in chapter 9 concerning his triumphal entry before his death. It says in 9:9, "Rejoice greatly, O daughter of Zion. Shout." I'll be taking it just word by word in a little bit, but let's get the whole verse first. "Shout, O daughter of Jerusalem, behold, thy king cometh unto thee. Notice the description of them, his character, his nature. He is just. Why is he coming? It's right next. Having salvation, Brother Paul. Oh, glory to God. Then a further description of him. He's not only just, he has salvation, but now tell us something about him different from most people. He is lowly. Jesus said himself, I am meek and what? Lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls in Matthew 11:28-29. Next thing it says, he's going to be riding upon an ass, donkey to you. Riding upon an ass, and listen at this, more astonishing, and upon a colt, the foal of an ass. In other words, a donkey's baby, unbroken in as yet. You try to even ride a donkey, you're going to have a little problem on your hands. But when you ride one unbroken in, you got a big problem on your hands. But I want you to know this, that with the Son of God who made the donkeys in the beginning, in the first place, he can make them behave too. And he riding to both of those and said, you can identify the real, genuine Jesus when he comes. He'll be coming riding on the two of them. When you see that, Zechariah said, the Holy Ghost revealed it to me, you know that the real Jesus is a-coming, and accept him. You'll be able to recognize him and identify, and then accept him when you see him coming like I told you he would make it. And Jesus came that way. Now notice, let's look at it. First of all, the Holy Ghost says, rejoice greatly. Amen, your deliverer, your soul transformer is a-coming. Your Redeemer's about here. No more sacrifices continually made every day and every month and every year and all of the slaughter of those animals to make an atonement for your souls. One sacrifice once and for all for the sins of the world is going to be made by him, the God-man, who had to take on him a body to get blood. And it's God's blood. It wasn't human blood. It wasn't no flesh of human blood like we have is divine blood, because all blood in any human body is paternal. Those of you who understand what I'm saying, you know what I'm talking about. And this is the blood of God in his veins, because he conceived of the Holy Ghost. The blood of God, because he said, feed the church of God, which he has purchased with his own blood. God's blood flown in there. God's blood was shed on Calvary. God's blood made the atonement for your sins and mine. But rejoice greatly. What is the Lord trying to do in exhorting his people? He is telling us, why rejoice? Because, in the next part of the verse says, thy king cometh. Why didn't he say thy redeemer cometh? Later on we'll get to that. But he said, your king is a-coming. And when you study all the scriptures on Jesus Christ being king, you'll find it not only from the Psalms of David, you'll have to even go back to the book of Genesis. And you're going to find out he's king, king, king all the way through. I'll give you a few references directly. But your king is a-coming. And you go with me to Matthew now in chapter 21 and verses 1 through 5. And when they drew near to Jerusalem and were come to Bethpage unto the Mount of Olives, what happened? Then sent Jesus two of his disciples, that was Peter and John, saying unto them, go into the village over against you, and straightway, this is what you're going to find. And just like we told you here, you're going to find that ass parked out there in the street, and you're going to find the colt right along there with. Now here's what you boys do. Loose them and bring them to me. He said, now you run in any trouble from the owner of them, you say the master has need of him, and he'll just gladly turn him over to you. Now, mind you, what Jesus is prophesying happened long for peace from where he is at. Those disciples couldn't see that old jackass and that colt along with her way up the road. And he said, now, another way that you're going to be identifying how you'll be able to find out where that old jackass is, you're going to find a man. A man's going to be carrying a pot of water on his head. And says, you follow that man. And he'll take you right over to where those donkeys are. Well, what's so unusual about that? In those days, the women did all the carrying of the water on the head.